blood in the battle, the wedge that was forever separated, stuck between the North and the South, it's not been lifted. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who to this day still believe that the South won or will rise again. It's simply not so. The Confederates broke away from the Union. We are the United States of America. That will not happen again, hopefully not. But the Civil War really shook this nation to its core. Union casualties and the battle numbered 23,000, while the Confederates had lost some 28,000 men, more than a third of Lee's army. The North rejoiced while the South mourned. Its hopes for foreign recognition of the Confederacy forever erased. I'm Neil Parks. I'm your host for Paranormally Speaking. Today, I'm going to be discussing the ghosts of Gettysburg, my time visiting that supernatural, paranormal hotspot of a town where so many lives were lost. Blood still runs through the streets. You can't really see it. It's metaphysical. And ghosts pop up in the strangest of places. Hundreds and thousands of witnesses through generations and through the last century or so, on guided tours or their own walkthroughs or just happening upon the town and walking through and witnessing a residual occurrence or sometimes an intelligent haunt. I will share with you some of the best places in Gettysburg to see for yourself and to experience the paranormal activity that resides there. There have been many documentaries covering this topic, many films and, well, a few miniseries and some television documentaries and whatnot about the history of Gettysburg, the names, the dates, the lives lost. There is some rich history and spooky tales that I will be happy to share with you. But once again, this is Paranormally Speaking. Please hold for an important message from one of my fabulous sponsors. Available to order now, my first audiobook, Neil Parks Presents Truly Terrifying Tales, narrated by me. It's ready to order and download on Bandcamp.com. My other books, of course, are always available to order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Lulu.com. You can also order t-shirts that I designed that I normally sell at conventions, festivals, lectures, and my book signings. I always have the 9-inch-tall 3D-printed Bigfoot silhouettes available, and last spring, my first children's book was released. It was written by my good friend and fellow author, R.L. Walker. I illustrated this book, and it was a major shift in gears for me, considering that my writing and art style has always been dark and scary. To order any of what I just mentioned, you can also go to my email, which is parksparanormal@gmail.com. That is parksparanormal@gmail.com. Standing by. Truly terrifying ghost stories that prove Gettysburg is the most haunted city in Pennsylvania. History's ghosts meander in Pennsylvania's most haunted city, and for good reason. Gettysburg played a pivotal role in the Civil War. The Battle of Gettysburg, which would become known as North America's largest battle to date, took place during three bloody July days in 1863, resulting in more than 51,000 casualties. These eight terrifying ghost stories I'm about to share with you provide solid proof that Gettysburg is Pennsylvania's and perhaps America's most haunted city. First location, the Devil's Den, Sickles Avenue, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Tour the Devil's Den, the main stage for the Battle of Gettysburg, and you just might run into a friendly fella wearing a large floppy hat. That young guy generally helps tourists compose the perfect shot of the battlefield, even stepping in the frame for a photograph or two. As soon as the shutter snaps, he disappears and never appears in the photos. Don't be surprised, however, if your camera or smartphone mysteriously stops working or the fully charged batteries suddenly drain, a common paranormal occurrence at the Devil's Den. Jenny Wade House at 548 Baltimore Street in Gettysburg. often referred to as America's scariest haunted house. The Jenny Wade House is the site of the lone civilian death during the Battle of Gettysburg. Jenny Wade, who lived in the home, was hit by a stray bullet as she stood baking in her kitchen. Wade, who died on the battle's final day, is said to still roam the house along with several children. Visitors often hear loud bangs and the innocent voice of a young girl, and they feel a sudden rush of cold air on the second floor of the house. Others tell of feeling the arms of the little children holding onto their legs. This was the house where Jenny Wade was hit by the stray bullet, dropped dead in the kitchen, and her mother walked in and finished making the biscuits without even shedding a tear. 3. Sacks Covered Bridge, Waterworks Road, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Sacks Covered Bridge is a charming reminder of the Pennsylvania of yesteryear. Maybe one of the most haunted spots in Gettysburg. Crossed by the retreating Confederate Army, the bridge is also said to be the site of the public hanging of 3 Army deserters. Those who visit the bridge tell stories of seeing apparitions, smelling cigar smoke, hearing voices, and feeling a touch when no one is there. The Gettysburg Hotel, 1 Lincoln Square, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Several spirits continue to roam the Gettysburg Hotel, a hospital during the Civil War. Rachel, a nurse during the bloody days of the Battle of Gettysburg, has been known to wander the rooms, digging through guest drawers and luggage and pushing carts haphazardly around the hotel. A Union soldier who perished in the hospital is often seen wandering the halls of the hotel. Gettysburg College, 300 North Washington Street in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Gettysburg College served as a field hospital for both sides during the Civil War and as a result has a storied history of hauntings. And the most terrifying of those stories date back to the early 20th century. 2 college employees entered an elevator, pushed the button for their desired floor, and waited. But the elevator malfunctioned, taking them straight to the basement. When the elevator's door opened, a woman saw a bloody Civil War operating room with doctors working feverishly to save injured and dying soldiers. As a doctor walked toward them, the elevator began to move to another floor. The 2 employees, accompanied by a security guard, returned to the basement minutes later and found nothing. 5. Farnsworth House Inn, 401 Baltimore Street, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The Farnsworth House Inn housed Confederate snipers during the Civil War and is the site from which the shot that killed Jenny Wade originated. Visitors to the charming bed and breakfast tell stories of hearing strange noises emanating from the attic and singing coming from the basement. Now, I've been through the Farnsworth House Inn. I did a walkthrough upstairs, downstairs, up and down the halls. The house is high energy, strong spiritual energy. And I sensed things. I heard things, voices, whistling, whispering, and humming. And I smelled old world cooking, like a pie baking or maybe some kind of bread baking. And no one was working in the kitchen at the time that I was going through. No one had been there for hours and baked anything the night before. It was all fresh to me. Tilly Pierce House Inn, 301 Baltimore Street in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Guests at the Tilly Pierce House frequently tell stories of waking up in their room after feeling a figure sitting on the edge of their bed, staring at them. Others tell of hearing strange noises and footsteps from an otherwise empty attic while the apparitions of soldiers had been wandering the halls. Dobbin House Tavern, 89 Steinware Avenue, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Dine at the Dobbin House Tavern, which we had the privilege of going to. You might just be served a sight of the paranormal. Formerly a stop on the Underground Railroad, the Dobbin House Tavern hosts the spirits of former slaves who have been seen meandering through the building, including a former hiding place. blood splatters, according to local lore, also mysteriously appear and disappear on the floor throughout this tavern. We ate here. The dining atmosphere, the ambiance, is so old world. They don't have super bright lights in there. The lights are like candlelight. And the music that's played in the background is all local lore music that would have been played during the 17th or 18th century. If you dare to visit Pennsylvania's most haunted city, you'll want to follow your trip to Gettysburg with those visits. These haunted hotspots. Once again, 89 Steinware Avenue, 401 Baltimore Street, 301 Baltimore Street, 300 North Washington Street, 1 Lincoln Square, and 548 Baltimore Street. These spots I just read to you and shared with you, I've walked through myself, experienced the residual, if not intelligent, haunts, and captured some pretty significant evidence via photograph. Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
Unparalleled insider access. Get it all. Introducing the SiriusXM Platinum VIP plan. Our newest, most exclusive plan. Listen in two cars, plus stream anywhere with two app logins. Access a massive, exclusive library of live concert video and audio recordings through nugs.net. Have opportunities to experience live and virtual SiriusXM events, including VIP-only exclusives. Get all your questions answered by a dedicated VIP customer care team. Plus, get all the entertainment we've got. It's all included with your Platinum VIP subscription. Be a VIP. Call 844-711-8800 to learn more. Offer details apply. One login per activated vehicle. Not available in Canada.
I've been to some amazing places throughout my career as an author and researcher. One of which would be Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. One of the bloodiest and most memorable battles of the Civil War took place there. And it was to be a war that would forever divide and hopefully unite this nation, but there's still a lot of deep wounds from this war that have not been fully healed, and it's been over 150 years. So that brings us to today. I was in Gettysburg in 2012 and 2014. I've taken part in ghost walks, paranormal walkthroughs, investigations, tours, and there was one location I went to that I found most interesting. The first casualty of Gettysburg was not a soldier, but a young girl who was working on biscuits from scratch. She was making biscuits in her kitchen, mind you, and some of the Confederates were tunneling through Gettysburg, just scouting around and scurrying from one end to another, just peeking in windows, looking around, and one of them peeked through a window, and they thought they saw someone who was armed standing there and shot through the window. It was not a soldier, and no one was armed. It was a young girl working in the kitchen, working on making biscuits for the soldiers to eat while out on the battlefield. And it wasn't just for the Union. These biscuits were also for the Confederates. And that's what was interesting about this war. It was brother versus brother, father versus son, and they would break bread after war was over. People would have picnic lunches on the hillside and watch the battles ensue. And during Christian holidays, Christmas, Easter, whatnot, the war and fighting would stop and they would meet in the middle and exchange pictures of their family members and stories and family time events and so forth with who they were just shooting at and trying to kill. Really psychologically interesting war, needless to say. But this poor girl who was baking biscuits in the kitchen was shot dead by a Confederate soldier who was scouting through Gettysburg. And what happens? The mother runs in and quickly mourns over the death of her daughter, who was just shot and killed in the kitchen. So what does she do? Sort of pushes the body aside and continues work on the biscuits. That is disturbing. Something like that, if my child was shot in a kitchen by an insurgent, I would be out in the yard looking for this insurgent and making them wish that they had never been born or that they didn't have extended family, because I would track every last member of their bloodline down and eviscerate them. But this is not what happened. Mom just scooted the dead body over and continued with the making of the biscuits. Freaking weird. Another part of Gettysburg we went through, some awesome tours in the battlefield, and you go up to the cliffs, the rock, the hillside and the rocks, and look over what's known as the Snake's Den, and you can still hear the clinging and the clanging of the canteens from the soldiers that went through there doing battle so long ago. You could smell the phantom odor of cigar and pipe smoke and cigarettes and whatever it was they were smoking or burning at that point in time, whether it be the smell of a mass grave and bodies burning or a campfire. You could smell it as fresh as it was the day that it was started during the battle. And I've always had a theory that if you were to build a residential neighborhood over the battlefield of Gettysburg, every single house would be haunted, not because of what took place in that house, any kind of cataclysmic event or period of turmoil, but the land itself is what would be cursed, therefore making the house haunted. Something like what happened in Gettysburg released so much energy from the human body, from the people involved in this horrific event, from the fear, the anguish, the hate, the disdain, the murder, the violence, the blood spilled, bloodshed, from limbs getting shot off, heads being blown off, people bleeding to death on the field, people gasping for their last breath and their enemy hovering over their body, looking them in the eyes as they cross over into the next world, and their spiritual energy still resides there, and it's evident. You can walk through that area where they do the tours and through the town itself, and you can just taste what happened there. You can feel it. You can smell it. You can sense it. It's an electrically charged level of kinetic energy that just flows through there constantly like a pulse. I recommend checking out Gettysburg, Pennsylvania someday if you've not. I try to go every few years. There's always something new to discover. And plus, they always feature me when I'm in town at their ghost walks and their haunted events. It's kind of a fun way for them to say thank you, I guess, for continuing to tell their story.
Dave Grohl says that the Foo Fighters recorded their upcoming album, their 10th album, isn't that neat, in California, and it turns out the house is haunted. They can't even tell you about the house because a lady is trying to sell it. Huh. They said, we found out about the history of the house, and I had to sign an effing non-disclosure agreement with the landlord because he's trying to sell it, so I can't give away what happened there, but they set up a baby monitor. Things did happen. They did see things.
How cool is that?
Their guitars would be detuned between sessions. All their settings on their soundboard would go back to zero. Their tracks would go missing. Some tracks didn't record while theirs would be there instead, I guess, like weird mic open noises.
Okay.
Like mic would just open and noises would be there.
Sure.
When they walked into the house, Dave said, I knew the vibes were definitely off, but the sound was effing on. He said
the vibes were off, but the sound was on.
He said stuff started happening almost right away, and they got increasingly weirded out. And that wild?
Yeah, who would not? I mean, like, that's really weird. You're recording like one of the coolest albums that you can record, what, your 10th one, and then all of a sudden you're surrounded by a bunch of ghosts?
I love it. Once they sell that house, I bet we'll get more details.
Well, yeah, you want to know ahead of time, though, that that's the house, right?
Yes, oh my God. It's kind of cool, actually. Some people like look for haunted houses.
That's what I think too. I think like eventually they could probably get more out of that house because that would be the place.
Neil Parks would love that. Foo Fighters recorded there, and it's haunted.
Yep.
He buys haunted items online. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're begging curses to be inside your home.
Neil, you know, he wants to hang out with the ghosts pretty bad.
He does.
Yes, he does.
He has some books written right now. You can check them out, or you can buy them online. Neil Parks, look for him. He's local, and it's all the local haunts around here, Chillicothe, you name it. He has been there, and he's written about it.
Now playing one of the biggest podcasts of the week on the free iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting.
The weird world of haunted eBay. Purchase with caution. Buyer beware warns the eBay listing for the haunted vintage antique evil active possessed witch demon doll. So many things have happened when this doll is near, writes Settlement Treasures number 7. She must go. I cannot have her in my home any longer. The doll, which has been photographed from a Ouija board, can be purchased for $99.99 plus $7.70 shipping. The Ouija board is not included. Now, this is for an artist's obsession with listings for the cursed, doomed, and otherwise unexplained. They actually have this cursed item atop a Ouija board. Haunted vintage antique evil active possessed witch demon doll. Buyer beware, it says. For $99.99. You too can own this little piece of evil for your own home. I wouldn't suggest doing that. The owner goes on to say, I just got obsessed, said the artist Eric Ocklander, 31, speaking of the night 2 years ago when he first came across a listing like this one. The item was described as a haunted box, which we all know as a Dybbuk box, and he immediately began searching for others. That night, he captured screenshots of more than 50 similar listings and has been looking at them ever since and for more. Another example, the haunted spelled pirate ship Pirate Spirits brings money and riches for $49.99. Or how about the haunted spirit puppies, dog, puppy, animal, antique, old figure, no doll, paranormal for $14.99. Or the haunted 16-inch spiritual doll, spirit vessel, supernatural paranormal power, could be yours for $59 and $7 shipping. There's also the haunted bones totem, magical for the metaphysical, for only $5.95, with $4 shipping. Ocklander describes himself as a collector of aesthetics, and his material is the ephemera of this world and around us. For him, it is not the item on sale, but rather the listing itself, which becomes the object. The listings are a way of containing a story and also telling a story at the same time, he said. The images are taken from this collection that he has. His previous work includes Craigslist Mirrors, a popular Tumblr site that was published as a book in 2016. Seemingly simple in conceit, it consists exclusively of screenshots of listings of people selling mirrors on Craigslist. The images are funny, poignant, and often unintentionally telling, revealing strange corners of people's lives. Another sample of what he has collected through the years. A large-size paranormal haunted box lot, curious doll and jewelry, Wiccan and more, for $50. He also has a cursed ring, 100% haunted, witch-owned blue stone ring, vessels, vampire master spirit, $140.50. I appreciate the fact that these photos are being taken for the sole intent of selling an object, Ocklander said. Once they are put into a new context, however, they can then be appreciated as something aesthetic. By collecting the listings in this way, Ocklander brings out patterns that may go otherwise unnoticed, and if so, only in passing. Like the haunted spirit figurine, no doll Simba cat feline plays animal meows for $24.99, or the black-eyed 16-inch spiritual spirit vessel doll, supernatural paranormal power is haunted, $5,800. The haunted eBay listings include many ordinary objects such as feathers, coins, pebbles, pieces of wood. Often they are said to be enchanted for good luck or for fortune. Good or ill, you will be able to feel the vibrational energy from your coin. Must be a positive environment and attitude for it to work. Advises one seller, please note, this chip is for money luck only, not general good fortune or finding love with a different spell, warns another. Another example of an item that's a cursed
piece on eBay. Voodoo spell, lucky money token, casino chip, Bally's AC, not haunted, but very powerful. Or a metaphysical magical rock, slice of pie, the haunted stone, healing. For $48, you've got a haunted folk magic natural wood effigy, healing or for hexing, elemental only, $65. Other items are said to have powers all their own. Hearing voices is really common. Faces appearing, sounds, Oglander said, but also misfortunes happen. A string of negative events can happen in people's lives, like these objects have cursed them before. The claims are, of course, difficult to verify. The site's rules dictate that all listings must offer a physical item or tangible service. Many listings include disclaimers about the objects. Supernatural attributes, as required per eBay's policy on the sale of paranormal items. This is for the sale of a tangible item only. No promise of a spiritual attachment, writes one seller. Purchase with caution, writes another. Not recommended for children to play with. There's an It Clown, 21-inch tall, haunted, doll spirit, vessel papier-mâché, paranormally active and creepy AF, $19. Or the Haunted Spirit Doll, spirit vessel, supernatural, paranormal, active, possessed doll, $39. There's the Corn Man, strange cornfield sightings, paranormal apparition, left behind mask, $110. Haunted coin collection, very active, make wishes, fun and magical, $3.99. Still, such disclaimers do not entirely prevent instances of negative feedback from disappointed customers, which sellers sometimes address. They often reply and say that you need to exit with it for a while before you start experiencing things, said Oglender. You didn't give it enough time. For example, I'm disappointed that nothing happened. Not haunted, not sure why they ensure spirits go to the good people. In this context, buyer beware serves as both a disclaimer and as a potential selling point. As one listing put it, I do not take any responsibility for it. If anything at all happens, blown fuses, divorce, etc., the item, a vintage teddy bear, sold for $560 after only 46 bids. Vintage haunted plush teddy bear. When asked if he was superstitious, Oglender said, I guess I believe in spirits. I want to at least hope that there's some magic in the world, some underlying thing we can't see. Still, he has never bought a haunted item himself. A haunted doll is a handmade or manufactured doll or stuffed animal that is reported to be cursed or possessed in some way. Research around why people of that understanding, why people perceive dolls as creepy, has been conducted with some varying conclusions. A 2013 study by psychologist Frank McAndrew named doll collecting as one of the creepiest hobbies an individual could have. Of the topic, the creepiness, McAndrew stated that it was related to the uncertainty as something might be dangerous, but you're not sure it is. In a 2015 article for Smithsonian.com, writer Linda Rodriguez McRobbie stated that dolls inhabit this area of uncertainty largely because they look human, but we know they are not. Since the doll lacks the ability to mimic human brains as the most basic evolutionary tactic, remains suspicious of whether or not it is human, since they may expect the doll to mimic their own actions. This leads to the feelings of physical coldness when the doll does not act the way one thinks it should. There was an individual who contacted me about a year or so ago and met up with me at one of my book signings. They had purchased a haunted item from eBay. It was one of the Thai Beanie Baby ghost bears. And allegedly, the toy was purchased for this person's cousin, and it was given to them when they were undergoing treatment for leukemia. And they died from cancer, leukemia, while holding this item, the Thai Beanie Baby Bear Ghost. And no one else wanted it after that. They were all distraught because every time the immediate family held on to the item, they were immediately brought back to the time that the kid was alive and wanted nothing more to do with that item, which brought
feelings of despair, and the cousin ended up with the item. So he tried to sell it on eBay, and with no luck based on the price he was getting out of it, plus the negative feedback he had received from family members who felt he was exploiting the death of his cousin by selling a quote-unquote haunted item, he decided to keep it. And strange things started happening in his apartment. He believed that his cousin's spirit was attached to the item. So he took it upon himself, well, he and his father, thought maybe we should communicate with it and see if we can talk to our cousin. Well, this kid's cousin, and it was his dad's nephew. And then dark things started to happen after they did a makeshift seance with just the two of them. And when they played around with a Ouija board, they ended up bringing something over that was not the cousin, obviously, based on what was going on and what the item had attached to it and the things they were hearing and seeing and the visions they had. And this person met up with me, handed the item to me, and I have it locked in a box, a wooden box with a glass display, with a trinket around its neck, a tiny little flask, almost like a beaker, per se, with a cork on the top of it, with kosher salt in it, kosher salt and flakes of limestone. And I have the seal of the box coated with holy water around it, of course. And at that time, I did a prayer of holding. So I kind of created my own Debic box, I guess you could say. But it's a fun little item to take around. It makes a great conversation piece. Would I reopen the box based on what the person told me was happening in their home? No, I have children. Is it a neat item to have as an alleged haunted item? Yeah, it's a cool piece. Have I had anything strange going on in my home as a result of owning this item? No. But it's still cool to bring to broadcasts when I'm on the radio or on a television segment or at book signings and conventions before this pandemic took over and ended up canceling all of those and showcasing this and talking about it with people. It gets them to open up a lot about antiques they purchased or things at yard sales they've purchased or even on eBay, haunted items and the effect it's had on their lives. Hey, that's all the time I have for this week. I covered a plethora of topics in regards to Gettysburg and haunted items, artifacts, and antiques. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I'm still tired and suffering from a food coma. I actually ate a lot, as usual, and lost weight in the process. I don't know how that works since I'm 46 and my metabolism has slowed down. Thankfully, I'm not a total fat ass, but I have put on some COVID weight. I guess it just keeps me warmer in the winter. It makes me look healthier anyway, because I was horribly emaciated in my 20s. Looked like I was starving, but I could always eat enough for an elephant. Have a great weekend this weekend. Get involved in something fun for Christmas. Driving around looking at holiday lights. Wishing friends happy Hanukkah, because we are in the midst of Hanukkah right now, and making plans for what we're going to do on Christmas Eve. This will be the last new episode for 2021. Thank you so much for hanging out with me this year. 2020 was an amazing, interesting, upside-down year, but 2021 was a bit better. Still strange and awkward, having to work on my facial features when removing my mask in certain situations so I didn't have RBF, resting bitch face. Anyway, my expression is somewhat grumpy sometimes, so if I look upset, I'm not really upset. Normally, I'm thinking a lot. I will talk to you next time when I have new episodes returning in 2022. There will be in a couple of weeks, if not the end of this next week, a Best of 2021 episode that I will be launching. And that will be it until the new year. Thank you so much for hanging out with me this long, for subscribing, following, and sharing. And hopefully I've offered you sound advice, entertainment, and a productive peace of mind. This is Neil Parks signing off one last time in 2021. God bless.
Cuando quiera oír su voz, ¿quién me hace segunda pa' ponernos hasta atrás? Yo pongo la casa y si se acaba voy por más. Échenme la mano que está duro andar así. Mañana por ustedes y esta vez que sea por mí. Avisen que hoy no llega.